What's up, everybody? This episode of Am I the Bowlcast is a bonus episode because we do not have a regular episode this next week. So if you're looking to tune in next Tuesday for a brand new episode of Am I the Bowlcast, unfortunately, given the timing scheduling, the craziness of the Just for Last Festival that I have to be part of, and you know, overall life stuff happening, I've just decided that rather than rack my brain and come up with a way to get around it and all that, I would rather just say, hey, we're taking a little break. First time in 2 years, let's take a little break. So this episode is actually a bonus episode where I talk to my buddy Winslow Dumain about his game The Restless, available on Kickstarter. It's already fully funded, which means that if you back it now, you're just getting the game completely. It's a game that I've talked about a bunch. You'll hear a whole episode about it, a whole hour-long chat about it, so I won't get into it too much, and I'll just say I've been having a lot of fun with it on my own. I can't wait to teach other people how to play it on their next game night. I think it's a lot of fun. Finally, I want to say, if you're listening to this, thank you. This is how I know that you like you rock with me big time. Like you are you bowlers. I don't know what we settled on, but you're here. You're listening to the podcast, and that's like that rules. It means a lot to me. I just got off a call with Morgan, and we're gonna look into some Discord and Patreon stuff. We're gonna look into trying to work out our social media strategy to maybe attract more folks into the Am I the Bowlcast listenership. And frankly, I think we might just shorten things to just calling it the Bowlcast. Hey, it's weird having the question mark in the name. I think I prefer having just the Bowlcast. Either way, it's you know, it's a weird time of year. A lot of people are busy, and I am going to be busy myself, and I just can't find the time to get things recorded here. Actually, tonight we were supposed to record with the next guest, who is, I'll tell you in a sec, and something came up and we couldn't record tonight. And then we were going to do a mailbag, but then we had promised this guest that we would do a mailbag with him. So who's this guest? Well, someone that you guys have been asking for back. Michael Solani, our old co-host on the show, is going to be coming on as a guest to discuss his pet peeves and a story where he might be the bolus. And then we're going to get into the mailbag and all chop it up like the old days, like OG times. We're going to do like our first ever mailbag episode. I'm really looking forward to it. So for all you Games Freak SA heads out there, rejoice. He's coming back. Context is back in the building. We're at it again. Sweet, sweet boy Michael Solani is back on the Bowlcast on the next episode. However, not next week. So what we're looking at is likely a release of the Bowlcast episode with Solani on July 29th. However, if that doesn't work out due to scheduling or anything like that, we're looking at the week after that. So just you're subscribed to the feed. Keep an eye on the feed. July 29th or August 5th, we're going to have a new episode with Michael Solani, interviewing him and letting him have his moment as a guest on the show. But also, the next week, we're going to be doing a mailbag with Michael Solani. And so it's going to be 2 weeks of Solani, and I'm pretty pumped about it. We also have some great guests lined up. Next guest after that would be Tori of the Vast, the other half of Scrybabies. So folks who listened to this week's episode with Lua Stardust will know her from their work together on Scrybabies. And, you know, she's also appeared on my podcast about The Bachelor and The Bachelorette, which we no longer do anymore. But that's how I got to know Tori a lot more than just, you know, magic stuff. So she's a wonderful person. Very excited to have her on the podcast. And also a big revelation when I was in Chicago earlier this year was a little duo by the name of Girl Pod. Just the most infectious energy. So much fun. I cannot wait to have them on the podcast. They are wonderful people. So cool and sweet. And I'm looking forward to chopping it up with them. So those are two guests, or rather we're going to have three guests because Girl Pod is two people, on top of Solani, who's coming next week, that we have to look forward to. So there's your roster for the next couple of weeks of the Bowlcast. Why am I doing this like this now? I have a little bit more to say before we get into the episode, which is that I edited this episode. There's no apologizing to Ken, which also means that there's swearing. We will be swearing a lot. It is just, Winslow swears a lot to begin with. I swear a lot, but I try not to when I'm doing the podcast. So if you're someone who's used to listening to this podcast, this might be the episode to tune out. I'm sorry. This is why it's a bonus episode as well. We are discussing Winslow's game, which also deals in mature themes. So it's kind of good that you're tuning out. If you can't handle swearing, there's a chance you're not going to want to hear about what the game is about. You know, it's a fertility apocalypse, you know, and just like very brutal imagery and a survivalist in an apocalyptic landscape. It's a very good talk because Winslow has a lot to say about his artistic process and discussing the duality of life and death. And he's someone that I admire as an artist and a person. I really love this guy. He's a good friend of mine. And I really hope you get his game. The goal of this episode is to let my friend and I just have a good time talking about a thing that I have witnessed him build for the last couple years and have also been part of. I've play tested a little bit. I've offered some insight, you know, and Winslow is a talented artist who is also a very funny comedian. So please do your thing. Follow what you like, who you like. But this is my suggestion for your feed, for your life, for your products. I appreciate you listening to this episode. It's a bonus episode, so we're not going to do all the sponsorship stuff. It's one that we didn't expect to happen, and I'm just kind of thrown in there. Because Winslow asked me if we could just do an episode, and I said, hell yeah. This is my podcast. You know, it's Morgan's podcast too, but Morgan says, you get to decide things, so I'm going to decide. We're doing an episode with my buddy. So there's no real magic talk on this one. No magic discussions. However, if you are in the Ottawa / Gatineau area at the beginning of September, so September 5th through the 7th at Command Fest, at Face-to-Face Command Fest, there's a good chance you'll bump into your boy. So I will be there Saturday and Sunday, September 6th and 7th at the Face-to-Face Command Fest, and I'm really looking forward to playing some games with a lot of really fun people. Creators on the list aren't officially announced yet, but I know of a nice little group of folks who are also going to be joining me at this. And I will say, if you're in the area and you're looking for something fun to do on your weekend, come on down to Ottawa, play some games with me, play some games with them, play some games with a whole bunch of people you'll be stoked to see again. And yeah, let's just have us a nice little Command Fest in Canada. For those who haven't been able to travel down to the States like myself, it's time to bring the con experience back home. And what better way than to attend a face-to-face Command Fest? So really looking forward to that. Shout out to everybody who is still listening. And shout out to Winslow Dumaine. So without further ado, here's the episode about The Restless by Winslow Dumaine, which you can purchase now on Kickstarter. Okie dokie. You're listening to Am I the Bullcast, the only podcast about Magic the Gathering that you're listening to right now. This episode, a little bit different because it's not about Magic the Gathering. Actually, this episode is rated M for Mikey, but also for I'm probably not going to censor any swears this episode. We're not apologizing to Ken. We're getting this thing out real fast because my guest today is someone I've known for a very long time, has a very cool project out. You might have heard me talk about it. I know if you've listened in the last couple episodes, I've talked about it extensively. You might have seen me post about it. A little Kickstarter project by Winslow Dumaine, my guest today. Winslow, hey buddy.
How you doing, buddy?
Ooh, it's nice to see you again.
You're looking silver. I'm liking your hair, man. You're one step closer to David Lynch. I'm a big fan, man.
What can I say? It does look better when it feels like more a contained streak, you know?
Yeah, I'm getting some whites in the beard too.
Yeah,
it's pretty nice.
What's funny is that I've always gone I started going gray when I was like 19, but it's only been this pronounced recently.
Oh,
no
yeah.
idea.
Well, you were struck by lightning, so, you
Right.
know.
Yeah, I did not factor that in. That is
Yeah,
something that I
you
should have
took
thought about.
9 electrical damage, and you
Yeah.
lost 2 items. So, yeah, no, it's I've been working, buddy.
Busy.
I've been busy. I've been busy.
Well, Winslow,
Yeah.
I have talked about you on the podcast before, not just in plugging your project that we're gonna spend the bulk of the episode talking about, your new game, The Restless. But I've also just talked about you in the context of visiting Chicago, because you're who I ski
Yeah.
with when I'm in town. We get to hang out. I get to stay at your place, which is very nice, and then I go down to the convention center and I sweat all day with a big old backpack and play cardboard with pals. I got to see early versions of this game because of that. I've been able to you walk me through like a two-player game very loosely early on.
Yeah.
And I was like, I was ready. The story itself, like, you have a whole lore for the game. You're showing me illustrations. You're showing me what it's about to be. And I didn't tell you this. I got it in the mail. You sent me a promo copy of the game just so the mitts on it.
And there's a funny story about the promo copy, but go ahead.
We're going to get there. I opened it and I cried a little bit. I had a little bit of a
Oh.
teary moment. I was like, it's happening. It's
Thanks,
my
man.
boy's making it happen, and I'm so proud of you. I'm so excited. And it's not like this place is a stranger to your work. You know, Winslow is a talented artist. He does a lot of bumper stickers, back patches, prints,
I do it
multimedia
all, baby.
artist. You've got a bottle that just says piss. You've got a
Have you seen my new bag?
which
Oh,
one?
buddy. Well, all right. So I don't know if I should mention it because it might not be up yet, but I make a black, you already know this one. I make a black tote bag that just has
Yes.
big white letters that just says, "I am shoplifting."
Yes, and
But
my
then you
girlfriend
can,
loves that. She uses it for
yeah.
everything.
But I have a new one that is white with black letters, and it just says, "I have a gun in my bag."
Oh
So,
my God.
yeah,
Can you
it's
get away
fun.
with
Yeah,
that?
fuck it. Let's see what happens, you
In
know?
America, at least, you know.
Yeah.
Like, again, you're gonna hear some swears this episode. We're not apologizing to Ken.
Did
This
I
is gonna
just
be.
swear? I can't even. Did I say
Yeah, you
anything?
said fuck it, and I said it
Oh.
again.
Oh, well, then
Look.
there you go. Yeah,
What
roll
can I say?
tide.
We know each other because of comedy. It's gonna feel like
Yeah.
we swear. It's just like it's an environment where it's like
Oh,
not
yeah. It's a
as, you know.
comma, honestly. Yeah.
Exactly. It's like a little bit of a rhythmic. It's like a punctuation to the fun of a sentence. You get a groove going. But
Exactly.
I've known you for a long time. We met in Omaha, Nebraska, doing a comedy festival. Instantly knew that I liked you because your jokes were so dark and wild. I
Yeah.
remember the starter pistol joke. I mean, I'm not going to have you do bits on the podcast for sure, but I remember that bit being like, who's this guy? I need
Oh
to.
yeah.
That's also like your, what was it? Like an opening bit even. So I was
Yeah,
in.
my opening bit was, is anyone else here really just alive out of a courtesy to your parents? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So yeah, that I it's funny that like my early stuff was like absolutely pitch black dark because you met
Yes.
me, I believe.
Really rough time.
Yeah, because like a bunch of my friends died, my dog died.
Oh, I lost you. I mean, we're gonna have to dip into the backup audio because I just lost all of that.
Okay, well,
Yeah.
it's all good. I
Yeah.
was just talking about my big old dumb broken heart. But that's par for the course for me.
I feel you.
Yeah.
But it
But
wasn't a good time, but it's a good thing we met. That's what matters. It's like,
yeah. And it
this
all
has
ties
been,
together into like how I ended up here, you know.
I mean,
That heartbreak is what made the rest of my life, you know.
but I mean, all told, I've known you to be someone who embraces, like, you make pins of guillotines. You sell a bottle with cremated remains printed on it. But you're also a real silly boy. You've got bumper stickers that say "Piss, it is what is for dinner."
I
Gatorade should be thicker, needs a
Gatorade
mention
should be
here.
thicker. You know, I that's my big one that has like become an international sensation. I've been people have sent me pictures of like trucks in Romania with my Gatorade sticker on them.
That
There
rules
was
so
a
hard.
kid at WrestleMania holding up a giant sign that says Gatorade should be thicker, and it's
Hell
because
yeah.
I made that tweet. Like if you Google it. No one else was talking, was saying the
Nobody
word
else.
Gatorade should be thicker until May, which I
And you
think
know
is
what?
very funny.
I haven't look, I'm not like a big Gatorade guy, but every now and then
When
when
you
I,
have it,
like I had it and I'm just like, Winslow's right. She's total it's so much thinner than you expect it to be. Gatorade should be thicker. Now you mentioned the internet, you mentioned that you posted about it. I want everybody to know where you're at, where they can follow you, and then let's dive in to what we're really here to talk about. So Winslow Dumain, the floor is yours. Tell everybody where they can find you.
You can find me on winslowdomain.com. That's where I have my store. There's also links to the Kickstarter for the thing that we're going to be talking about in a second. That's all of my portfolio. I make all kinds of different weird art. It's generally really morbid, but it's all sorts of stuff. And then I'm on Twitter at winslowdomain, and I do have a Blue Sky account. You can find me there too. Same name. And on Instagram, my name is Calculations, and I post all sorts of stuff there too.
Hell
So
yeah.
I'm on all the usual spots.
All the usual spots. Make sure to follow Winslow on all these platforms, especially because, well, should we tell everybody that this Kickstarter campaign has
We
been
should tell them what it
successful?
is.
Yes. Yeah.
One, yes, you're right. It is successful.
Congratulations.
But the I made a cooperative 2 to 4 player horror tabletop game
Yeah.
that is it's entirely cooperative. You have to work together. It's not like Magic. It's not going to cost you $1 million. It's not all this other stuff. There's not a
It's all
ton of
one
rules.
box.
It's all one box. I made it so that my mom could play it. It's very straightforward. But it's also 750 hand-drawn cards. Every
Is
single
it
thing,
ever?
pen and ink, not digital. It's thousands and thousands and thousands of hours of me slaving over the Bristol paper. So, it's this enormous work that, personally, it does. It's a really fun game that's got a lot of interesting depths and twists and turns. But I think that the main selling point is that it's just like this enormous thing that I made, that
Yeah,
you get
buddy.
to see the whole shebang, you know.
All at
So
once.
yeah, it's fun, and it's based on the tarot deck that I made. Because so what had happened was, I don't know what that's a reference to. I hear whenever I say what had happened was, people will say it back to me, and it's a reference to something, and I
It's
don't know what it is.
something, and
If
I
it's
don't know it
racist, I'm
either.
sorry. But
I hope it's not because
I
I've
hope
heard
it's
it.
not. I've for sure stumbled into funny phrases and then found out that they're racist
I'm
later.
just gonna Google what ha happened was meme, and it looks like it's Kevin Hart.
Okay, so
Or,
who knows?
yeah.
All right. Well, I'll put that one in the back burner. No, so I like 10 fucking years ago, I was going through a real dark time for me, had my heart
Yes.
completely smashed. A bunch of my friends were just being real creepy and slimy, and heartbreak and deaths. Multiple friends died, and dog died, and all this other shit. It was a real profoundly dark time.
Yes, not a good
And
time.
yeah, and leading up to that, I have been like artistically creating things that nobody gave a shit about. Which is the story of everything forever. And
Art.
so yeah, I want to write words that I feel words have such a amazing alchemical power that, like, just with a few words, you can give people a whole creepy, weird feeling.
Yeah.
And I wanted people to read my writing, but I couldn't get them to read it, so I started drawing things and aligning those Jesus Christ. Okay. Ignore that. Sorry. Fucking
All good.
somebody's calling me. So I started writing things to put all of that together. So I made a deck of tarot cards, and I drew every card by
Yeah.
hand. I wrote a short story for each. I put that on Kickstarter, and it was bigger than anything I've ever seen before.
Huge. I'm
Yeah. I
telling.
mean, huge. You say huge.
Yes.
You have to understand, I was working a very, very broke boy job. I had
Oh,
never
yeah.
seen a big number before. And
Oh,
with the
yeah.
goal of $1,000, I raised about 15 grand, which is nuts.
Crazy. And you got that money and you put it all together and you made it happen, baby.
I made it, and I also started designing all this other stuff, made it pins and patches and stickers and all sorts of other things. And then I kept working the job, and I eventually fully reimagined that already reimagined tarot deck called the Tarot Restless, and I did a Kickstarter for the third edition, and I made another, I raised like 53,000, and it was crazy, and it was so cool. All of the, like, I've sold out all 1, 2, and 3. I'm still cutting through the fourth printing of it, right?
Right.
But I wanted to tell a story that would put the spectators more central into the game, or into the world that I made. Because the tarot deck is about the last days of extinction, because the gods have cursed humanity with infertility. So it's like this big, grotesque, rotting world that is free of, what you know, of like anime bullshit and MacGuffins and like ways that you can save the day if only we get the Kyber crystals into the Mount of Vesuvius, right, or some horse shit. It's none of that.
It's the road. Yes.
It is pitch black. It is about humans and what they do when the entire world is dying. And you know, because I wanted to make something about when the world is so hostile and you are constantly suffering, what do you do to move on?
Right.
And I made a tarot deck about finding simple beauties and pushing forward through pain, even if it means that you know you're going towards a brick wall, because there's more value in refusing to submit than there is in just giving it up to the people that are trying to destroy you, right?
Yeah.
So I took that story and I made, originally it was going to be a novel, but I decided to just make the novel into a game, and the game is called The Restless.
Oh, yeah.
It is a 2-4 player game. It has 750 cards drawn by hand, the whole shebang.
Right.
It took me like 5 fucking years of drafting and drawing and working and
having witnessed some of that, when I was in Chicago 2 years ago, I would leave and you would be working, drawing, you know, and then I would come back. And you'd be like, oh, hey, buddy, I'm just wrapping up here. And you'd put the final touches on something before we turned on like a meme channel to laugh and cackle at before going to bed. You have put so much work into this. And every time I'd come by, I'd be like, damn, you'd have another pile of things just completely made that day. And it was so impressive to see your dedication to it, and then also your vision for it. Because you would explain to me what you were doing. You would tell me, this is what this is. This is what this is. I've all this. You pull stuff on both your monitors. You're showing me what the backgrounds are going to look like.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just like, this dude can see this thing completely, fully.
Yeah.
And I was so excited again, I have the cards on my desk right now because we're going to talk about a couple of them. But like, I was just so thrilled to be like, I'm more tactile. I like having stuff in my hands. And I was like, when this comes together, it's going to look sick. Because at that point, I'd already had the tarot deck, right? I know what you're capable of. I've seen your work before.
Looks cool, but looking back, it is. I the tarot deck is very intentionally austere or Spartan. It's lots of black and white with a little bit of color. Sometimes,
absolutely,
like the last 10 cards. So it's the full tarot deck, which is 78, and then there are 12 zodiac cards, which are very minimal color. And then the final 10 cards are all black and white. And if you look at the entire 100 card deck, you can see the color being drained out of the world until it is just this final staccato of like these vignettes of darkness that is not just like a field of tombstones and Grim Reaper. It's like, my thing is, death is surreal. It is bizarre. It is abstract. It is not it's like this hallucination that we all experience. Like the living and experiencing the world is so insane and so bizarre, and so too is death.
Right.
And it's also not designed to be like this big old fucking bummer, because it is like, you know, from the get-go
Yeah.
that it's pure doom. And it's like the final card is acquiescence. It's there's the two final cards are coalescence and acquiescence, and it's to merge with the thing that destroys you, or to submit yourself to destruction, because that is what we all must do. You must acknowledge that death is inevitable, or you will have it thrust upon you. No one will get out. I don't care what if Brian Johnson is injecting his son's fucking blood into his thighs, or whatever the fuck that weirdo is doing. This
That
little
dude is
like
on one, huh?
Dorian Gray blood bag or whatever.
Totally. His using his son as a, yeah, exactly. I will say, like, you're so I again, knowing your work and seeing it all come together and finally having it in hand, I know you mentioned that it's 2 to 4 players, but what I've been having fun with is I've just been like playing on my own, controlling all the characters, because the idea is you draft characters from the top few and you pick one for each player, right? You draft the top six and each player picks one, and then you put the remaining two in back in the deck, and then those are your starters. You get starter items, and then you begin. You pick your rest cards and set them aside, and you've got to start with a realm, pick your encounters. It's time to run, you know? I've been having fun just to get to know the game a lot more, because like I said, I'm much more tactile. Just to get the game to know the game more and maybe like see where things have changed in playtesting since the last time you showed me stuff. I've just had it on my kitchen table for like a month or like weeks since it's gotten here, and I'll just like draw a couple and be like, okay, what would I do here? And I've been having a lot of fun mostly with like just picking a card and being like, the art on this looks insane, or the art on this is a little silly, you know? And that's a big part of the fun for me too, is that it feels like such a massive project that I know for a fact that I haven't even touched, like I haven't scratched the surface yet in terms of all the pieces that can interact with each other. I haven't even touched, like I haven't scratched the surface on whether or not, like, you know, what happens if the Drim gets a child's arm? You know what I mean? Like, what does that mean? Right. So, I'm just kind of like, I'm experiencing it as I go, and I'm just kind of enjoying it on my own, and I'm looking forward to getting a group of people over to play it fully.
I wrote a ton of different things into this game of like, I built what I thought would be a really cool build, I guess, of different card interactions, and then I don't label them as parts of a build, and I just scatter
Right.
them through the deck so that you are invited to find different ways of playing it. And like the final playthrough that we had that we recorded for
Right.
the promotional video for the Kickstarter, it had a really interesting power setup where one player started with a starter item that was this casting glove, which is this red glove that makes your you can cast spells, which okay, so combat is based on you're rolling to see if you can hit the target's die defense. If you are doing a combat roll, if you hit the target's die defense or over, you do damage. If you fail, then they do damage to you. And ranged rolls are just, do I do damage or not? And then you have to dodge. And by giving people multiple range rolls, you have multiple chances to do small damage with only risking taking damage once. You can also not do damage and not take damage. It's more variable when you're doing range stuff.
Right.
And so they had one card that had the casting glove, which also gets in more and more rolls added to it the more spells that you have. And so they just gave all the spells to the casting glove. So
Makes
they
sense.
had 0 to 5 damage potential right away. And then they had eventually, I think it's the Calcified Heart of Saint Sithorian, and it's a treasure item that it helps you get Golden Veil, which is a shield that will perfectly protect you
Yes.
once, right?
Yeah.
And they kept giving, they had this system set up where they would routinely give the Golden Veil to the Rag. And the Rag is the weakest
Ooh.
character in the game. But if the Rag kills somebody, they get +1 health capacity. By the end of the game, they had the rag, I think, up to like 19 health. And like, they did
And his
all of
starting
this
health is
without.
something like, what
His
was
starting
it,
health is four.
five?
Yeah.
Oh, four.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so they did all of this without me telling them, and
Exactly.
without being and also like without ever getting like a badass like god killer item. You know,
That's
like there's
interesting.
the first in the yeah, I designed it like that where there are a couple items that weapons that are heavy duty ass
Yes.
weapons.
Yeah.
But the most of the games that I've seen, people are entering like the second realm with maybe one person has a broken sword, or maybe that somebody found a bow, but they're doing fist fights all the way through
Interesting.
that first whole thing, because that is to me so obvious that that is the best type of storytelling. That's the most interesting type of game. That's the game I always want to play,
Oh,
because this
yeah.
game is based on Neo Scavenger and Silent Hill and Stalker and all these games where you start
Survival
with,
horror.
yeah, almost nothing. I don't
Yes.
want a grenade launcher. I don't want a
No, of
flamethrower.
course
I don't want
not.
any of that shit.
Yeah, the
Like,
grenade launcher should come right before the final boss battle, and it doesn't even take them out. It just like tickles them even.
yeah, like I like the experience of like the best part of any RPG is the first 5 to 10% where you're picking through this game and it's getting harder and harder and harder, and I just like the idea of like that you get some rusted ass piece of shit weapon and you go from doing one damage with your fist to 2 to 4 damage with this broken sword. That's like this light speed upgrade. I don't
Right.
want the big fucking fancy ass weapons and shit, you know?
No, you want the small
Yeah.
thing that's, yeah. I think what's
Yeah.
so to I think to kind of touch on something we you mentioned earlier, and put it into magic terms, it's kind of like, if you enjoy drafting a set, if you enjoy a bit more of a limited experience, and in this case it'd be closer to sealed because it's, you know, it's all in one box, but it's still a matter of like you're picking cards from truly massive decks, right? It is a varied experience. It's not something that you're going to have play out the exact same way every time. There's a lot of variance in this game that I find keeps like it'd be one thing if so like if you'd made a game that, you know, you play it twice and you go, I get the gist, now I know what the like best strategy is, I'd be like, got it, it's fun, I'm sure we'll pull it out on board game night, but it doesn't get, you know, it doesn't really invite me to kind of think about it nonstop the way like I think about Magic similarly. Meanwhile, I'm over here thinking like if I'm setting up, I go, you know, oh, what if I open, you know, what, maybe this time I'll take the Virago and see how that goes. You know what I mean? As like an opening character. And so it just is so different. And you get to choose that just kind of like in a draft in Magic is like you're passed a pack, you pick the card and you pass it over. There's a randomness, there's RNG, there's something built in that allows you to customize the experience while also not directly choosing how it's set up, you know, which I appreciate.
I based a lot of that on, because I've never played Magic, right? But I have played a lot of Hearthstone, and I can hear your audience booing me. Because every time I mention Hearthstone, they're like, "Oh, baby Magic." I'm like, "Yeah, look, because I didn't want to spend $6,000."
Look, a Magic Hall of Famer made a career out of playing Hearthstone online as well, and he still plays Magic, but you know,
Yeah,
he
no,
did
I
shit
mean
for a
they're
little while in favor of Hearthstone.
right.
Yeah.
And I really like the discover mechanic in Hearthstone because you get to pick one from three cards, and so I've
Right.
included that as many times as I could.
Right.
Where, but then there's caveats to that, right?
Right.
Because, yeah, you get to pick one from three loots. Great. So if you have one that your party really needs, you can go with that. But at the end of every realm and throughout the entire game, whenever you're picking treasures, it's always like this tantalizing thing of like, whoa, what if you got to pick one from three treasures? Because then you can get something even better.
Right.
But scattered throughout the entire treasure deck, there are X number. I'm going to increase it after the Kickstarter, but for right now there's
35, I
30.
think.
There, yeah, there's 30 right now, but there's
Okay.
eventually going to be 50. Sin cards. And if you see a sin card for any reason, even if you're the card just says look at the top three treasures and put it at the bottom. If you see a sin card and you're the one that caused it to be seen, you have to take it. And
It's
those
yours.
things stick to you and they fuck with you in ways that are really fun and really interesting. And it's designed, yeah, so like the characters are weak, the world is extremely hostile, everything is a nightmare. And you have to work together, but will you continue to work together when your party is starting to get riddled with sins?
Yes, and it's also it. This reminds me. This element reminds me a bit more like of there's a Magic format variant, not super popular, but it's out there, which is like a zombie tower format where you've got your four players and you're playing against one zombie deck that is like 400 cards deep, and every turn it flips more and more cards. So turn one it flips one card. It's a zombie, gets it in play. Turn like it could just be a zombie token, right? Then turn two, it's two cards, three cards, and so on. And it has astronomical amounts of life, you know, something like 1,000 or something like that. And so it's everybody working together to kind of beat that down. This kind of reminded me of that, given, you know, the realms and how they work, right? You have to, you end up doing these encounters, and sometimes you're trading with traders and merchants, so you get more loot and more treasures, but also sometimes you get nothing. There are nothing cards in the deck just
There's
because.
33 nothing cards that are just there as this kind of this middle finger, you know.
Because this game
Frictional
wants you
gameplay.
to, and that's the thing about this is like this game isn't just like see, okay, this is where I'm at with it. I think getting nothing cards is so frustrating, but then you're like, okay, I did not plan for this. How do I make this happen? And then you realize like the death rules mean that like you could, you know, you could play loose with it. Like if you wanted to just reroll your character, you could reroll your character. Like you can, there's a ton of ways to just make the experience a little bit more guardrailed. But if you're like me and you want to play for real, you flip that nothing card over, you take nothing, you're upset about it, and then now you're looking at all your other options.
Yeah,
It's
and the nothing cards are in the loot deck, which is fun because I'm very scarce with my rewards for people. Like there are some cards that don't have any rewards, but it'll just be like you prevents fleeing, you have to fight this thing, and it'll drop maybe one reroll counter. That's like the base, right?
That's a base one.
And that is, yeah, it's like getting one penny. And then there's loots, and then there's treasures, right? And so there's instances where I've seen people like they're losing health, but they really want that loot card. And so they do all of this work and then they kill the thing and they turn over that loot card and it's nothing. And it's just like, all right, move on. Yeah, you worked really hard for something and it turned out to be fucking nothing. Welcome to my world. You know what I mean?
I think that mechanically it does make for some like a bit of a feel bad moment, but then you're also like, well, I'm playing this game. Like I'm like this is what I've signed up for. It is like the story of the game is exactly what you described when you were talking about the Terra Restless, but what we didn't discuss is like you're descending through five realms, and there's this more and more smoke billowing. You only get to rest three times. Sometimes your rest cards are also nothing, or rather
Yes,
nightmare
that's a
situations.
thing I haven't told anybody about yet, but I feel like it'll be fun when people find out, right? Because there are 30 rest cards in the game, and these are the nights that you can spend resting. They give you three reroll counters, and you can use those to heal. Or you can also use food items now. You can also open treasure chests now. And so all of that's super valuable. However, five of those rest cards in that deck are called Restless Horrors, and it just says this consumes your rest card. This prevents fleeing. This is a monster that you have to fight right now. It gives you nothing. And then right when that's done, the sun rises and you have to keep fighting.
That's right.
You
You're
know?
ambushed by it. And I think that's also like, you know, that is evocative of a survival horror situation. And so again, like you're traveling through these realms, getting deeper and deeper into the smoke of the apocalypse, essentially, until you reach these like titan gods that
Yes.
are the biggest encounters you have. And I don't.
Physically, yes.
Yeah, yes, yeah. Physically, because the
Yeah.
other ones could be lengthier too, but I think they are these titan gods are, first of all, the cards are huge and they're awesome.
Right, that's what I mean, is all of the other cards in the game are tarot size, so they're bigger than
Right.
Magic cards. But then the final gods and all the cards with a lot of text are 4x6 cards, so you get a lot more, you
They
know.
are bombs. They are
Yeah.
going to kick your ass. They are not easy to get through. And it takes like your decision making comes into play like crazy when you reach this station because this part of the game, because obviously at this point you've accumulated hopefully some better weapons, hopefully some knowledge of how your party's been working together. You know, maybe at this next rest point, I'm gonna trade this item with this character because it says Omenist, and I need that bonus on this next
Right.
round or something. And and ultimately, it's just it ends up feeling like such a win at the end of the whole deal. You make it through, and it does feel like this level of like satisfaction and catharsis in that way of like, I have spent all this time going through all of this. The soundtrack has played over twice.
Yes.
I need this. I need to win. You know what I mean? And you pull it out and you're like, well, look, now it's time to go to bed. I am going to sleep with a smile on my face.
It's a game about a mood, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And it is, again, there's I mentioned earlier there's some like funnier cards, and then there's some like cards that are more evocative of magic. And so, for instance, there is a card called He Who Reaches From Below, which reminds me a bit of It That Betrays from Magic.
Oh, okay. Because
Yeah.
that's a reference to a Leviathan song. Oh God, I can't remember. Because there's a bunch of Leviathan references in here. There's He Who Reaches From
Totally.
Below and That of Which the Night Speaks. No, it's the Leviathan song is called He Whom the Shadows Move Towards. Which I yeah, sorry, go ahead.
Oh no, I'm just saying that he like the thing is like the flavor captured on this card is great because immediately the first line of text is prevents fleeing. You're not escaping this combat. Like this is you have to you're gonna trudge through this bad boy, you know what I mean? And then there's other characters like there are traders that I quite like. I thought one of my favorite pieces of art in the set is just so
Yeah, I figured you'd like
Tulu
that.
Milkbrain Vagrant Trader, just a dude having a time, just hanging out.
Yeah, and his flavor text is it's what does it say?
I
Like,
have what I have unless someone else has it,
yeah,
which
I think it's just fun.
yeah, it's also like it's such simple flavor text that also reminds me of like, do you remember when I don't want to say it because I don't want to get it wrong, but the bumper sticker that when you told me about it, you're like, I think of you when I wrote this, like, it was of course I'm driving fast.
Oh yeah, I'm working on a bumper sticker that just says, "Of course I drive fast. I miss my wife."
Yeah, it's so funny. So
yeah.
funny. Get pulled over by a cop and be like, point to
Look,
it.
buddy, I miss my wife.
Another card that I really like is another trader called Dunce Troop. I mean,
Yeah.
I'm gonna post these online
Yeah.
when the episode drops, but I really
It
like
and
Dunce Troop a lot. I would take a print of Dunce Troop and pop this on the wall.
Dunce Troop is fun. It's not a traitor, it's just a
Oh,
non-combat encounter. And
right.
the idea for that is like a lot of, you know, it's how do I put it? It's basically about like how you can lose friends to online cults. What we see is a bunch of psychos, but then, you know, you can lose people in them. And one of the effects of the Dunce Troop is that you know, they might steal some things from you, they might steal some treasures, or they might
Right.
take an entire character from your party and replace it
Exactly.
with somebody else.
The card is each character must roll the D4 and one and if you roll a 4, swap your character with one from the character deck, and
Yeah.
that's not only that, yes, you get your health back, but the sins are retained. So you don't lose those. You
Right.
become a completely different person, but you still You're still sin. You're
There's a
still
lot
low.
of there's a lot of like trans allegories in how the character stuff works, where like you can completely reimagine your body, because there's a encounter called Shift Shaper Ophthalmi, and it is a masculine figure becoming a feminine, or a feminine becoming masculine, and it is basically about like opening your mind and investigating yourself, and perhaps you would work better as a new character at this point,
Yeah.
you know. And
Oh,
I
yeah.
kind of like that thing of just like having there's a lot of games that want to be inclusive, but it's like so on the nose, and it's just
Yeah.
it's it like that's I rankle at that, because it treats me like I'm stupid. If you made it into a more magical, more thoughtful, more spiritual thing,
Yeah.
that's so much cooler to me than
But that
just
comes
being
with
like,
the idea
yeah.
of like media literacy being like a skill
Yeah.
being lost over time, and
But my position on the media literacy stuff is just like, people can be as media illiterate as they want. They can call this game whatever they want. They can criticize me for everything, but at the end of the day, I'm not going to dumb myself down, because fuck them. You know?
there you
I'll
go.
take criticism.
Take
I'll
it.
take, but I'm not going to let somebody grotesquely misread my work and tell me that I did something that I didn't, you know?
Fair.
Yeah.
I will say another card that I pulled just to keep it going is I've got two left that I want to talk about. Treasures. One is going to be levity after the first one, because the first one is just child's body.
This is
Yeah, so
after an infertility apocalypse. All the children have been dead for a very long time. You do actually see the last boy and the last girl. One of them is preserved in brine, and another one's been crucified. And so this is just it's not even a child's body. It's just the torso of a child.
It is just a
Yeah.
torso. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I mean, this is an equipment which we have in Magic. It's an equipment that gives you a max plus 4 max health,
Which
which
is
means it's
really good.
really
Yeah.
good.
It's extremely good. It doesn't heal you. It
No, it
just gives
doesn't.
you the capacity. Yeah.
It's got some extra tests on there, but I do want to talk about a different one right after because it's a little bit more fun than a child's body. Is a prayer sought in gong. You just found a
Yes.
gong. You get a gong, and now you get it's like
It's a
seven
big ass.
armor.
I love games where weapons are made out of things that aren't supposed to be weapons. You know, like in Fallout, Prayer Sodden Gong is, I mean, it's a reference to me. It might not read to the viewer, but there's a really good album by Blackboned Angel, called Tears. It's called Verdun, and they have a track called Tears Strike the Mile High Gong, and it's about the Battle of Verdun and like the sound of the shells creeping at you from far away. And so, I don't know. Prayers and tears and all of these objects of I don't know, mourning and ritual and penance, but also beauty, because the whole game is about like my whole game, and also my whole artistic practice is about looking at the extremes of the sacred and the profane, and investigating how one thing moves from one column to another. When a church is decommissioned, they deconsecrate it. They remove the blessing that they put on it. And when a saint is crucified, something happens to that wood that makes it holy, right? And so there's this transitional period that I think is just so interesting, that that to me, I live in a world that is like soaked in holiness and sacred things, that is completely non-religious. You know, I growing up, I was obsessed with Chernobyl. I was so alone as a kid, so I played Stalker. I read all the books about Chernobyl. I spent so much time in these
When I came
dreary
to see you the
places.
first time in Chicago, you were watching a Chernobyl documentary just while you were
Yeah.
working.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you
And
were like, I've
so,
seen this one. It doesn't matter. We could talk over it. And I'm like, yeah, I mean, I know, but also it's still on the
yeah,
Chernobyl kick,
but no, then I went to Chernobyl, and so
Yes, you did.
I have a little bolt that I picked up off the ground. I shouldn't have done it.
No,
At
you
me in
should
the comments, I
not.
don't care, but I have this thing, and to me it's like it's a symbol of an extremely important historical moment, but it's also a symbol of a life spent in total isolation. So it to me it carries on a bit of holiness. And I don't know if you saw on the Kickstarter, but like one of the status effects, Black Ash,
Yes.
it in order it is it, like it's kind of a dirty Enso symbol. So it's like that Buddhist symbol of the black almost circle. And in order to make that, there was a church that burned down in my neighborhood, and I pulled some of the wood out of it, and I used my knife to scrape some of the char off of it, and I took that powder and I mix it together with some other fixatives, and I made a black pigment to make that Enso. And
Oh,
so
yeah.
that to me is taking some of this sacred wood and using it to make, yes, it is a card game that people can play and drink beers, but it's like Brad from Lincoln, Nebraska. You remember him?
Which bread? Give me a
Brad, I
line.
don't know, did you ever do Zoolarius?
No, I didn't.
No, you didn't. Okay.
No.
Well, Brad was the first guy who ever really took me seriously as a comedian. He
Okay.
loved me. He was so sweet to me. He put me up to headline his show at the Zoo
Awesome.
Bar before anyone else. He had me come back. That's where I first opened for Kinane, and it was this
Oh, no way.
huge emotional thing for me to like, I was so scared and so alone, and he looked after me, and he put me up and made me, he loved my jokes. And I'm on a comedy tour and Brad dies. And so
Brutal.
I know. And so I go through, he was a big name in the Omaha and the Lincoln comedy scene. And he ran that show at the Zoo Bar. And so I drove home for this. And I went to the wake, and there was this so many comedians there, so many bands were playing.
Right.
All of this love was there. Kinane sent in a eulogy. It was so beautiful. Not a dr I was crying. Everybody was crying, right?
Yeah.
And
Funerals
so,
will get you like that, you
yeah,
know?
dude. I mean, it was intense. And so there's a little rest card where, it's all of the rest cards are read as if you are the one doing them, and it just talks about this guy who can't sleep, and he's just like, I was thinking about my friend Brad Erecht, the zoologist, and talking about how he died, and how this person went to the wake, and was like, at once felt small because of how much love there was for this guy. And he's just like, oh, so I'm not, I had this big, he's so big to me,
Oh,
but
yeah.
I was one star in his sky. And then he the guy thinks about it more, and then he's just like, oh no, but that's actually like so beautiful that I
Yeah.
got to be a part of this guy's life. And so
Yeah.
it's a real thing put into the, so yeah, it is a card game for hanging out with your buddies, but it is also like a very, emotional thing for me too.
Yeah, I mean it's art, man. It's gonna
Yeah,
move you.
man.
It's like, and knowing that now, I know that I might get, I had a similar experience when my buddy Nick passed, I
God, he
similar
was the
feelings.
best.
Yeah, I know. Real deal,
Yeah.
man. So it's one of those things where like I know now I pull that rest card and I'll be like, "Oh, now that's not just a moment for you and Brad, it's a moment that I get to think about Nick as well and whoever else is out there listening to this, you now know that story. You play the game, you draw the card. You
Pour one
probably
out for
recall
Brad, man.
somebody. Yeah, pour one
Yeah.
out for Brad, for Nick, for anybody in your life that you may have, lost and felt similarly about, so well loved, and that's where it's at. I mean, that's
Yeah.
the thing about the like it again, magic does a lot with story elements and like there's a lot of stories that well, let's just say they don't always knock them out of the park, but they do a really good job most of the time, right?
I'm
So,
from the Warhammer 40,000 universe. I know what you're talking about.
you get it. But I'll say, like, obviously, a writer's writing from, the perspective of these characters, but it's impossible to inject yourself and not to inject yourself, rather, not to inject your like I'm always tempted to add a little bit of a nod to something in my stand up, you know? Like even just like the way you pronounce a certain word, you're like, that's how my buddy Sean says it. I like that for this joke. And yeah, I now knowing that, I think I'm gonna have a bit of a different relationship with that rest card. And that's pretty sweet. And I can dig that.
It's the
Before
game is, I mean, Dave is in there. Dave Ross, buddy of the pod, Dave
Oh
Ross
yeah.
is in there.
Yeah, he
Canaan's
is.
got a card. There's a lot of stuff, but
There's a lot of people with cards in here, buddy. Folks that we love and have, you know, grown close to, or you know, as close as you can be from living so far apart, and texting can get you, but you know, there's still love. It's just distance. Like, this is the thing. We've known each other for, what was it, 10 years at this point? 10, maybe 9 years. And I'm old. Are you back? Can you hear me?
Yep, I'm here.
Perfect. Sweet. We've known each other for like a decade or you know, almost. And like, I don't get to see you all the time like I would like to. You know what I mean? But it's one thing that I love about the time we're in now is like, I can think of you and I can let you know right away. Or, you know, hey, I'm in town. I make the time for you. You know what I mean? This is not even to do with the game, but it's just in general. You know, your friendships are like gardens. Water them. You make sure you think of a friend, give them a call. Tell them you love. Hey, tell your friends you love them. That's like the number one thing that I like to do, is I'll just reach out whenever I think of somebody. And you know what? Some people are off put by it, and it is what it is. And other people are, you know, you can make someone's day. So if you think about somebody, let them know. You know. Let's get back to the game. We have been talking for a little while now, and I think that the last thing I want to chat about before we wrap things up, and you go buy your copy of The Restless,
On
support Nick Peace,
Kickstarter now. I
Kickstarter.
just peaked and we just broke $33,000,
Hell yeah.
which is dope. My goal was 20, so if you back the game, you'll get it. Please. And
It's a
read the
sure
thing.
thing
There's a
at this
lot of
point.
caveats
Watch
and
the
to make
video. Watch the video.
the video took so much time. Oh my
It was
God.
worth it. It was so
Yeah, the video
funny.
is funny. There's jokes in it and shit. Yeah, please check out the Kickstarter. Link in the story.
What'd you say? The last 5 years of my 20s gone, or like it
Oh
was
yeah,
a
I'm describing like the first half of my 30s gone.
gone. Yeah,
Yeah.
exactly. Because you've been working on this for so long.
So fucking
I
long.
before we go, there are, what is it, 20 characters to start the
20
game with.
playable characters, yes.
And you pick from a deck. You pick from six from the top of the deck, and then you draft them among the players playing the game. So, you know, you could play alone, and you could just like pick for two people, pick for three people, pick for four. It is a 2 to 4 player game when you're playing with folks. I wanted to ask you for maybe a little bit of tech on a character that you like. I'm gonna hit you with three, and
Yeah,
you
hit me
tell
with,
me.
I don't know how much time you have. Hit me with whatever you want.
I like the Drim, because the Drim looks awesome. The Drim is like this scarecrow-y, staff holding,
A wicker
no,
man.
yeah, exactly. You know, he's got 1 damage, can carry 5 pounds, and has 6 health, and says when another character would take damage, you may redirect it to yourself. And I mean, like, on death, all rolls of 1 or 2 can be rerolled for free until a new character joins the party. But I think that first ability is where
Oh,
it's at.
it's dope as shit.
Yeah.
So the Drim was originally had a lot more health because I thought that a lot more damage would be flying around a lot sooner. But I think the challenge of the Drim is that yes, that redirection of damage can be immediately useful, as in the
Right.
whole party has this buffer of how much health. But with only 6 available health, you have to be very careful. So you
Right.
want to give the Drim any ability that will give them extra shield, extra armor, extra golden veil, or increase their max health as much as you can so that the whole party can get that buffer. But the other thing is that within that, there's also subplay of there's a lot of cards that are triggered positively when you take damage, so that like Every time you take damage, you can bounce back a ranged roll at the thing that tried to hit you, which is a potential for, 1 point of damage. And so if you just load up the Drim and just keep pecking at him, you're always going to be getting new things out of him. And it's also like you can't play that character as an overbearing asshole. That is a character who is constantly laying down his life to protect the
Yes.
party, you know?
Yeah, you have to be playing to serve the party. You are like a cleric in D&D. You are there to make sure people stay alive. Another one I like is the Harrow. The Harrow is I'm picking the cool ones. A shadowy figure with extended hands, 8 health, 5 carrying capacity, and 1 damage. The Harrow can attack twice in one turn. Real aggro guy, this guy. If attacking twice, you add 1 to the second combat or damage roll. That's what's up. You're really starting to slam with this guy. And then when it dies, all characters can attack twice per turn until a new character joins the party. So hit me with the Harrow. What do you got for this besides it just being we're speed running this dungeon?
I like the Harrow because it is it's inspired, like, I guess not like technically, but like emotionally. I got the idea. I imagined this character as I imagined this other one. There was a browser game, there still is, and everybody should play it. It's amazing. It's called A Dark Room. If you haven't played it, it's fucking amazing. It is all text. And but there's also like maps and navigation, but it is all done through Axie basically. And they have a rudimentary combat system where it's very unclear what the world is that you're in, but you're gathering up wood to make fires and to gather more survivors over to your camp. And eventually you can go out and go into this like abandoned house, and it just the enemy is described only as a gaunt man lunges at you with a scalpel.
Ooh,
And I love that. He's
with a
gaunt,
scalpel.
he's jumping at you, and he has a wicked, small, razor sharp, just bastard of a weapon, you know. Not a sword, a gun, none of this stuff. And I
He's
like
got to
the
get
Harrow.
close.
Yeah, and close, personal, suddenly violent.
Yes.
And I like the Harrow for being just kind of like this unknown thing that is that it's capable of such horrendous violence, but is also doesn't care about himself at all, because he
Yes.
doesn't have a ton of health, and he's constantly risking his own life by every time that he fails, he takes damage,
I
you
mean,
know.
he's like on the higher end of health, I think, like at 8, but still, like, if you're attacking twice, you're taking damage.
Yeah, you're risking a lot, you know. And some of these characters, some of the monsters hit fucking hard,
They
you know.
hit like mallets. It's pretty nuts. And for the last one, I would like to ask you, which of the 20 starting characters is your favorite of the bunch?
Okay, I'm gonna be an ass and pick three, because there's the three that I think are like I have a basic idea for a starter character. Of like one that to me is like when I wrote the game, I wrote her as the main character from which the rest of the story spawned, and then whether or not you pick her is kind of circumstantial. But the Virago, Virago is cool because all of my women characters are such interesting, complicated, useful, powerful cards, and I do that without having it be like the Ghostbusters reboot. You know what I mean? They're not
I
kicking butt
see
and
what you're
taking
saying.
names.
You're just
But
doing it.
she's cool because every time she rolls in excess of the target's die defense, she can add one counter to her face, and then other people can take counters from her to add one to just one to their roll, right? So she's constantly. You want her to do well because then she's immediately going to pay it back to you, you know? So I like her. I really like the rag,
Yeah,
because the
you like the
rag
rat.
is
That's
just
the
this,
first
like,
one you told me about when we
yeah,
were
this
talking about the game.
wretched, wretched creature who's barely surviving and bringing it all back up. But I also really like the crook, because the crook feels to me like, personally, I think it's a very masterfully done bit of like ludic game design, or like ludonarrative harmony. You know what I mean? I'm
Okay.
sure you've heard of the phrase ludonarrative dissonance, right?
Yes.
Yes. So the crook is really cool because her ability is every time that the crook draws a treasure, she also draws a loot. Now, any character can draw the rewards, any reward, right? And so if you have the crook in your party, you might as well let the crook draw that treasure, because then she's also going to steal you an extra loot card. But in doing so, she is constantly, because she's a crook, exposing herself to more sins more often.
Yeah.
And it, like, over
I was just
time, just
about to say.
constantly, you know. And so it's like, because she's a crook, she's constantly picking up more sins. And
There
I
we
think that
go.
just, like, it just works out in such a pretty way. Yeah, and I intentionally designed the characters to not be like Fight Man with big fist and he just
No.
does big damage. They're all abstract tools that can be used for different things.
And they're survivors is like the whole
Yes.
deal here. They're doing their best to make it through a whole apocalyptic landscape. And I think you capture that well with the starting characters. I will say, as Magic players, we already have a lot of stuff and accessories that will allow us to track the game in ways that, like, you know, you get a lot of reroll counters in the box. You get a lot, you get dice. And I can already tell with Magic players, they're going to be reaching for different colored dice. They like to customize the experience. They're going to look for ways to track the counters in a way that looks like a big old pile, but also, like, I don't want to keep counting the pile of counters, so I'm just
Right,
going to
exactly.
write it down on an Infinite Token. Shout out to Megan at Infinite Tokens. So I'll say, as a Magic player, getting this box, I was like, oh, I'm already taking this in as I would anything through the lens of what I've already become accustomed to. And when it comes to the rules, like you said, you made it so that even you could play with your mom, and she'll pick it up and it'll be easy for her to adapt, and it'll be something that you guys can play together.
Right.
And you know, I think that you said you want it to be simple enough to explain and get it going and kind of pick up as you go. And even in the rules, there's a line that says, look, if you come to a point where something is unclear and it doesn't quite make sense, come to a consensus among you. Like, this
Yeah.
is a game.
Yeah.
You are
Pick
playing the
the
game.
thing that makes it worse for everybody, you know,
Yeah,
and
exactly.
then push forward, right? But
Exactly.
do we have time for me to tell you the story about how the promo deck got to you?
Oh, absolutely. We have the time.
Okay. I'll be quick, but it is a funny thing of like getting these promos made was a absolute nightmare. It was thousands and thousands of dollars in weeks and weeks, because I submitted the order to get the promos made at the end of March,
Okay.
and the manufacturer pushes back and they're like, actually, your cards are not in the right profile and they need to be 6 millimeters bigger, so on top and bottom, so
Okay.
three on all sides, right? And so that meant completely reimagining how all of the cards looked and having to find ways to automate that process, right?
Totally.
That was a nightmare. And then every weekend in April, I'm doing the Oddities and Curiosities Expo. So that means I am home for 2 full days a week
Yep.
every week. I was home for 8 days of that entire month. And so I get home and it's like 8 hours of driving, 8 hours of working on this whole thing, getting everything done. More and more and more. I finally get everything put together. They accept all the files and then they say,
Yes.
hey, just to let you know, we're about to ship out the cards. The box that we told you to design is actually maybe like a fourth of the size that it needs to be. So the cards won't fit in it. So what we can do is we can wait another 2 weeks, or we'll just give you a white box and then you put everything in that. And I'm like, I have
It's
literally
promo
hours
time.
promo time. Send me what you have as soon as you can. So they send it all to me, right? Now, what I know about you is that you have a strong aversion to the sound of styrofoam.
The
you hate
sound,
it.
the feeling, not something that's come up on the podcast before.
Yeah.
I have it is technically a phobia, but it's not like one that's listed among the phobias, but I am afraid of styrofoam. An
I don't blame
irrational
you.
fear and
It's
hatred.
probably it's because it's such a high-pitched squeak.
It tickles a part of my head that feels uncomfortable. I have
Nails on chalkboard.
I have had panic attacks, anxiety attacks based on hearing it, touching it. I have touched styrofoam before, and you know, when that happens, I need to scratch at the surface of my fingertips and try to scratch the feeling off. And I've gotten to the point where I've broken, you know, I've scratched to my flesh. I'm not happy about it. Obviously, I've passed out because of it, because somebody thought it'd be fun to prank me. And I tried to take cover somewhere and hit my head on a desk on the way down.
Jesus Christ, dude.
I'm saying this because when this gets out there, there are, of course, people that feel like it'd be funny to try themselves at this. Somebody from way back, we're talking like 15, 20 years ago, who was in a band and dating a friend of mine. I was driving them home. He thought it'd be funny to do that while I was driving. Did not play great. Luckily, it was late and I pulled over. Yeah, dog. My point is, this is
Don't
now
like
information
styrofoam.
You have. Don't be a dick about it. Don't be a complete asshole. I am afraid of styrofoam. Winslow's aware of this. He's a good friend and is taking care and so on. So go ahead and you know that I am.
Don't fuck with Mike. Don't be an asshole. You're not
don't
funny.
Be,
that's
yeah,
that's
don't
the,
be the bolus.
Crux of all of this.
Yeah.
So I packed up all of the promo orders and shipped them out all over to everybody.
Hell yeah.
And then I got to yours and I was like, wait a minute, can't put styrofoam in here.
That's
and
right.
I didn't have any other packing material. I'd used everything up. So what I took, the manufacturer also shipped me a big box of the uncut print sheets, which I thought was very interesting. They gave me like all of the sheets that they would use so I could like go through with a fine tooth comb kind of thing.
Right.
And so I just cut that up and into little cube type of things, and I stuffed the box with it. I put everything in my car. I raced to the post office and I dropped it all off, and I got home and I was like, okay, that part of the promo is done. I can focus on the 10 trillion other things that I have to do to make this project work. And then 30 minutes go by and I get a call from a number I don't recognize, and I always answer the phone as chemical store, and he's like, hey, is this Winslow Demand? I'm like, yeah. And he's like, hey, you just dropped off something at the post office, but there's no label on it. Can you come down here and give us the label? Or we don't, like, I don't know. And I was
you
like,
don't know where to send it.
So I was like, oh, fuck, Mike. All right. Yeah. Cause I remembered it's so expensive to send it to Canada. So, okay, print that off, run down there. And he's like, just come in through the back, cause the post office is closed.
Yeah.
And I go in and I'm like, wait a minute.
Buddy did you a solid.
How did you know my phone number? There's nothing on this box. And he goes, well, I opened it. He shouldn't have done it,
no,
but he saved the day. Don't worry about it. And he found a scrap of paper in there that had my name and my zip code, which is enough for anybody to search to find all of the info about me.
Right.
And so he did that. He got my phone number, which now that I'm saying all of this out loud, people are going to do this to me.
don't do this.
Yeah, don't do this. Don't send Mike styrofoam. Leave us alone. Don't even listen to this podcast. and he did all of that. And I just think that it's so funny that had I packed it with styrofoam, you would have never gotten it. And I wouldn't be talking to you right now.
That's right.
You know,
I would have been like, buddy, you never sent me one.
And it would have never come back to me. So I just would have spent all of that fucking time and money to get it to nowhere. So.
And that is why we should stop using styrofoam and always pack a little note that says exactly how to reach you if you're resourceful.
Exactly.
That's what's up. Yeah. Hell yeah. I'm glad it came. I've been having fun with it, man. And I think if you're listening to this, obviously you've made it to this part. You are listening to this.
Mm-hmm.
Back to Kickstarter. I promise
Please.
You it's a good time. And the boxes have been fixed. They're not gonna show up with a
Yeah,
white box.
they're gonna be dope. I've got a ton of crazy add-ons. You can buy a pin of my sophomore year photo from high school.
Yep.
You can buy those die sheets that I received in the mail. You can buy all sorts of crazy shit.
You can buy a
So,
chaos pack, which is
yeah.
$35 worth of your art plus
One
some
to three
something
things
from
from my
your.
apartment. Yeah.
Exactly.
You get all
Yeah.
sorts of weird shit.
Yeah,
Yeah.
exactly. I mean, Winslow, buddy, it's always a pleasure. I love
Always a
talking to you.
pleasure.
I love that you put this game together. I loved having it. It was a privilege to see the inner workings of it before it finally went to print, and it is a privilege to have it in my home, much like your work displayed very proudly on my fridge, like a good boy. I don't know why I would say that. The Gatorade should be thicker as a magnet that's on my fridge.
No,
I've got
yeah.
a bunch of your bumper stickers stuck to stuff all around this apartment. We put your pain room placard on the bathroom door. I've got pins all over my backpack and my jean vest. Winslow Domain does a lot of great work. You guys should check him out. WinslowDomain.com, at calculations on Instagram, and at Winslow Domain on Twitter and Blue Sky.
And the
And
game
make
is
sure
called The Restless. Go to
The
Kickstarter.
Restless.
Just search The Restless and you'll find it.
You'll find
And
it. And there's going to be a link in the description, obviously. So,
yes, that
you can
too.
click on
Check it
that
out.
and make sure you back the project. And when you get it, have fun. I think you'll dig
Thank
it.
you. Thank you.
Hell yeah. Oh, we didn't even mention there's a soundtrack for the game.
Yes,
Anyway,
there's oh
what?
fuck. Yeah,
All
we could
right,
dub
bye,
this in later.
everybody.
Yeah, there's also I hired a Deformer from the podcast Swindled, which is dope. And I hired him and I had him make 10 tracks of the mood of this game. And I believe by the time you're listening to this, it's probably going to be completely out. But right now, you can listen to the first track on the album, which is called There Is Something Wrong with the Blood. And that is on his Bandcamp. There's also links on the Kickstarter. It has a fucking free soundtrack, Ken, sorry, that you can
Well,
listen
Ken's
to.
not. I'm taking care of
Yeah.
this one. We just
Yes,
said it
yeah.
off the top.
Yeah.
We don't got to say sorry, Ken, because first of all, let's just say the themes of this game are not necessarily sense. Like, we're not going to bleep. We bleep the whole thing.
Right.
Anyway.
Yeah. Anyways.
Winslow Domain, everybody. Thanks for listening. We'll be back. The next episode we've got is actually one that fans have asked for. So stay tuned. We're recording that one tomorrow and it comes out Tuesday. And this should be out by the end of the week. So shout out to anybody tuning into our bonus episodes. I love you very much. Make sure you follow us at Am I the Bullcast. Follow me at Mike Carrozza, MikeCarrozza. Follow Morgan at Indigo Gentleman. And that's that. Thanks for listening, everybody. I love you very much. It's time to scoot the day and play the theme song.